podcast?
Movie, movie, podcast.
Are you getting this?
What do you think the AI tells me?
Welcome to the Movie, Movie Podcast, everybody. Oh, episode number 175. Got there just in time to figure that out. I'm your host, Tiggs, and unlike last time, I'll introduce everybody with me.
Oh, fuck.
You just heard Peter.
That's Sir Lord Peter, please.
And Alex.
That's right. Alex Amon.
Nailed it. No, got it. First take. This is great. Well, we are, you know, the Oscar nominations are out. We would normally kind of like do one of those Oscars. We're going to hold off on that for a little bit. We still got some time. We've got over a month until the Oscars come out. We're not quite ready for some top tens, but we do have some cleanup to do. So that's what we're going to jump into.
Yeah, we told Russ, you have to choose between us and your baby. And so far, it's a little hurtful because he's picking his baby.
Every single time. You would have thought like one of these times we would win, but you know what? Never mind. What are you going to do?
My wife's sick and I have to take care of my newborn son.
Some might say Russ has no other choice. But let's talk about Song Sung Blue. We all saw it.
All right.
Yeah,
we all mildly enjoyed it.
Yeah. Like, it's better than the trailers lead it on to be. Like, it does become a family drama about halfway through.
It's so telegraphed, too. It was like 2 minutes before she gets hit by a car. Spoiler alert.
Yep.
Well, granted, this is a true story and based on a documentary, so you had your chance.
Yeah, there you go.
Like 2 minutes before that happens, I was like, God, it really feels like we're taking a turn. And I checked the time code. I was like, so how much misery we have in front of us?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Kate Hudson is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, like, yeah, it's Neil Diamond songs. It's totally fine.
We're just totally fine. Like, it's Hugh Jackman is
fine.
Good. Yeah, he's fine. He's good. I don't know who else would do that. To be fair,
I forgot what critics said it. They were like, "It's so weird that it feels like Hugh Jackman is miscast, and yet he's the only movie star who should be playing this role."
That was it was on Critical Darlings, I think.
Oh, was that Richard Lawson?
Yeah, it was Richard Lawson. Yeah,
and it's sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. He feels a little out of place. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. And, you know, the supporting cast is fine. Imperioli's good.
Oh,
yeah.
Michael Imperioli as Buddy Holly is incredible.
That was good. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, I didn't hate Jim Belushi.
I thought Jim Belushi did fine. I thought there was the right amount of Jim Belushi in this movie. I think Kate Hudson does like a really good job throughout. But overall, I think you're right, Alex. It's just like I went into it thinking like this is going to be pretty bad. Like I'm only watching this because Kate Hudson is nominated for it. Otherwise, I would have just completely skipped this thing. And then when I watched it, and I was like, oh yeah, it's pretty good. This is a fun time.
Like. I found myself singing the songs for about a day. After.
Exactly.
And then it promptly left my head.
Yeah.
And it has not been there since.
100% right. Like to the point where I'm like, I think she was good. And I only think about it because we're talking about it right now. Otherwise it's not the performance that like jumps to mind normally.
Go ahead. Oh no, I was gonna say, I think that, about half of her performance is accent work really good.
For me, the annoying thing with it, as I said, like a little under the halfway point is when it starts being like a sad movie.
Yes.
And the movie does this really annoying thing in which they tease like three or four times that Hugh Jackman's character is going to fall off the wagon.
Yep.
And he never does, but
when you're watching it, you're like, you know what? When that happens is when I'll officially start hating this movie.
Right.
because I don't want to do more of this.
Yeah.
And it almost makes it like a thriller in terms of my enjoyment. It's like, when am I going to stop liking this? And it never happens. And at the end of it, both me and Caitlin were like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Oh, Pete, it's Chekhov's booze.
Yeah. It totally was. Like when he like finds the old bottle of booze in like the toolbox, I was like, oh, here it is. It's coming. And then he pours it. I was like, huh. Okay.
Yeah. And he pre-tapes his sober birthday song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's
so sad when he drunkenly watches this later.
Yeah. And it doesn't happen. And that, I feel like that's to the credit of the movie, if anything.
So here's my problem with the movie. Towards the end, they're all driving to go meet Neil Diamond at like a burger stop place. And when they get there, their son is there. Like, they didn't bring him with.
Yeah, no, he didn't get to go in the back of the car with the rest of the
family. He didn't get to go in the back of the car with the rest of the family.
He had to be documenting it. He was like, I need the shot of him walking out of the car.
Yeah.
I don't know if Fisher Stevens has had some sort of medical issue.
Yeah.
Makes him look like a wooden boy come to life now.
Yeah. Oh, like a head on a toothpick? Yeah.
Yeah, but if doesn't he look like a murderous dentist?
Like, yes.
If you were your dentist, wouldn't you be afraid that he was going to, like, sell your teeth?
100%.
Oh, yeah, I mean.
100%.
Yeah. It'll be a dentist.
The other thing that annoyed me, there was one other thing that, like, irked me with this movie, is that we get back-to-back montages of Kate Hudson deciding to live life.
Yes, yeah. That was a little odd. Yeah.
So there's a training montage where she's just going to perform with Hugh Jackman at the Thai place.
Lightning and thunder.
And then after that, she's like, you know what? I want to perform for good. And then there's another training montage.
Yes. We're getting to perform. It's like,
why did we do two of them?
And honestly, the movie's like almost 220. Yeah. Like it's a long movie.
It is a long movie.
Yeah.
And you feel it a little bit.
Something I really liked is the amount of time that we spend with Kate Hudson being addicted to pills.
Yeah.
Is like incredibly short.
Yeah.
And they really just do that one trick where they're knocking on her door. And it turns out like the whole day had passed.
Yes. And I thought that was well done.
That's all you needed to be like, oh, this is really, she's really hit rock bottom. She's understanding that. And then they're moving on from this shortly.
Right.
I think that section could have been like 40 minutes in a worse movie.
Yes. And the second car that hits the house.
That is so funny.
I thought so too. Yeah, it was pretty fun.
There were so many things that happened in this that I was like, is this just a dream?
Yeah. I mean, it made me want to watch the documentary, which I imagine is a better movie.
Yes. Yeah. I totally agree. She's good in it. I think that like we're not talking Oscars, but here I go. I know that Jennifer Lawrence kind of got snubbed. I think, you know, in place of this, I'm sure that there's others that we could also think of as well. But I think that like Kate Hudson did do like a good job in this as well. So
yeah, and she has the like is 2 decades away from her last nomination.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's kind of a soft comeback for her.
Yeah.
So I think there's a narrative there, and Jennifer Lawrence doesn't really have one going, so I completely get it.
It's not a performance that's gonna win,
right?
No. But it's one that like I think, you know what, I'm okay with her getting the nod.
Totally. All right, let's go to, well, we only got one other that we all saw, and we could probably get through a couple of these really quick. So I do want to hear about The Rip, Peter.
Yeah. It's the Matt Damon, Ben Affleck cop movie.
Yep. On Apple Plus now or whatever?
Yeah.
Netflix, I think, right?
No, yeah, it's one. Yeah, Netflix. They've been doing so much press for it, it's insane.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Every time I open up IMDb, it's there.
I've been getting hit with, like, news stories about like the mayor of the town denouncing it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny. Okay.
It's pretty good. It's Joe Carnahan who can be very fun. It's a little boring, I would say, and it's trying to be like a little twisty and a bit surprising, but it's kind of just falls flat a bit. The two of them are good. It's kind of a little bit of a nothing burger. You're definitely not missing anything. It's not like silly or weird or like, you know, there's nothing wild about it. Like, we were talking about Ella McKay before we started recording, which I think is a not great movie that I highly suggest you watch.
Okay.
Holy shit, guys. Like, Ella McKay is a wild ride. And I think that, like, that's the problem with, like, a lot of, like, I'm sure, I don't know if this would fall into that category of, like, just streaming movies where, like, yeah, they're okay. There's nothing, like, either great or bad about them. Like, this seems like it's a fine time.
Yeah,
but like a good time even.
Hey.
I think that like I miss things being either confoundedly terrible or really good.
Yeah. I'm mildly interested in this, but I guess I've had like every chance to see it, and I still will find like something else to watch.
Yeah. I think for me, potentially the movie that's going to be that for me is that new Jason Momoa, Dave Bautista movie.
Oh, that keeps getting...
Oh, The Wrecking Crew?
The Wrecking Crew, yeah.
I think that's going to be my... I'll get to this later.
Yeah, I'll get to The Rip at some point. There's like a bunch of other things that I kind of, you know, need to watch. Like Return to Silent Hill!
Is this the second Silent Hill film, or have there been like others?
It's the third theatrically released. Yeah.
Oh. But it's Silent Hill 2.
Yes, it's off Silent Hill 2. It's also the director of the first movie. Came back for this one. Yeah.
They brought him back.
They brought him back. And let me tell you. Okay, so like cards on the table. I love that first Silent Hill movie. I think it's awesome.
I think it's totally all right.
I had an oversized Silent Hill movie poster up in like my dorm room for I thought it was one of the best posters. I loved it. Saw the movie multiple times. I had it on DVD. Would watch it all the time. Like, great stuff. I was super excited for Revelations 3D. Saw it. Sucked. Was like, I can't even remember what exactly happens in that movie at this point. This, I was like, okay, they're bringing back the original director. Kind of a return. They're talking like they're talking like it's Silent Hill 2. And like,
which is in the news, obviously, like in the news because they just did the remake of it.
Right. They just did the remake of it. So obviously, good timing for all of this. And let me tell you, this movie is like just boring for so much of it. It is like, it's adequately gross from kind of the get go, but it's also, I guess, well, I mean, since it's Silent Hill 2, Alex. Silent Hill 2.
Yeah.
James murders his wife, puts her in the trunk of his car, and then drives it off into a lake.
Welcome, everybody, to the Grift podcast.
Now, him killing his wife, is it because she was dying of cancer and he, like, euthanized her?
I believe so.
Okay.
I've been playing through the remake, and
it's
really good. But it's also like, I forget that it's like 20 hours long.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no, a lot of stuff. And it's just like, it's a bit of a slog.
Okay.
So
it's all still there. That's all in here.
And he feels bad.
And he feels bad for it. And then at the end, it like rewinds time and he gets another chance, I think. Or maybe that's just like him going into like heaven. But it's really weird. Starts with like an almost bus accident. Like she drops her luggage and she's like, just let the bus go as though the bus driver won't wait 14 seconds for you to put your luggage back together. and Silent Hill begins. There's like five or six people in this movie altogether, except for like the weird cult scenes that you're just like, is this what this is? I thought this is just supposed to be like a psychological dimension place. This is like what's going on with like this weird death cult and everything that's also going on within it.
Yeah, that's something I think they added later.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so.
And now that they've like retroactively put it into every Silent Hill thing.
Yeah, cause like it works. The whole conceit works a lot better when it's just like this person's going crazy. You know, yeah. Like it's not necessarily a manifestation of like it's a manifestation of one's mind or versus like this was, I don't know, like the concoction of like an evil scientist genius or like, you know, cult leader type of thing and all of that. It also doesn't look great. Like it looks like so much of it looks like it's on like just a fake background and you're like, come on, let's get out of here.
The effect of the first movie is pretty great, if I remember.
Yes. No. And I think that a lot of the first movie, and I'm sure some of this, but like so much of it was practical. And there was like all this stuff in the first movie about like the director, like the faceless nurses that would like go around Silent Hill. Like those were just like ballet dancers and that were like in like costumes. And like there's some of that, but not all of it. And then there's like all. Yeah. It was so disappointing and like boring at times as well. Yeah, and the guy who plays James, you're like, I know I'm not supposed to like care, but like I definitely don't. I don't even. I can't even like fake caring about you right now. And like some of the acting is just so. You wonder if they're like, well, just read the line like the voice actor would have. And you're like, don't do that in a movie. Don't do that. Don't recreate this PS2 voice acting in this movie right now. this is for the real fans only that won't really care for it.
I don't know if I saw the second one.
Yeah, you did. We saw it in theaters.
I've seen the second one.
Absolutely. I remember dragging roommate Pete to go and see the second one. And he was like, I never saw the first one. I was like, doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. And we walked out of it.
Silent Hill films.
I had to go and like, I was like apologizing. Like the first one's so much better. When we get back, we should watch the first one. And he was just like, absolutely not. I refuse to watch the first movie now. That movie was so bad. Oh, anyway. All right. Let's keep it moving though.
Hey, Alex, you saw Melania.
Yeah, I bought out every seat. That's why no one could go to it. Yeah.
Does it really give you insights? Does it really give you insights into like the daylight? Yeah.
It's.
Did you get the popcorn bucket?
Oh my god! Oh my god! I don't even wanna. Oh my god!
Yeah, it's.
Oh, where are you going with this?
It's shaped like the Lolita Express.
Oh God.
I've not seen that.
Has anyone seen what the box office is like going? Like, last I heard, every seat was open for every showing of it, like in New York.
I think it made $3 million worldwide.
Has it been out? Is today the first day, or is this the first week?
I think it's the first week.
Okay. I'm not seeing anything on Box Office Mojo. I think it came out oddly overseas already.
Okay.
But it's coming out tomorrow.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna announce the next movie. Somebody bring up Fandango and check what the seating reservations look like. It's probably everywhere, but like for some of the Times Square ones. Just to see how many tickets are available still if you want to go. But in the meantime, let's talk a little bit about Mother, Father, Sister, Brother, which only I saw.
The new Jarmusch, which
yep.
I've heard not the best.
It's fine. It's three vignettes, you know, about like basically like either children and their parents or just like the children. The first one with like Tom Waits and Kylo Ren, and that one's like it's funny. It's it has that Jarmusch feeling. It's a little like It's a little wooden and stilted, but I think it's supposed to be, especially in like some of the car driving scenes. The second one with Blanchett is very good. They all kind of follow the same themes. Like they're always talking about like similar, like, oh, like, do you want some water? We should toast to this. Oh, what about some tea? Like all of these things show up in all three of the vignettes that are happening. And they're all about like 30, 35 minutes long.
Weird.
It feels very coffee and cigarettes in that way.
Sure.
But with like longer, like more drawn out stories and vignettes, I keep saying freaking vignettes, but with a little bit more like drawn out. So you're kind of learning about like the characters, and what they're going through and how they do relate to like their parents. And if one parent is missing or if they're both missing and stuff,
guys, there's Milani Watch 2026. If you look at the 34th Street, the 42nd Street Regal.
Yeah.
Two groups of 10 bought tickets.
Okay.
So it's one of those things that it's clear, like the, what was the name of that movie? Sound of Freedom?
Yes.
Yep.
That people are just like gobbling up a bunch of tickets at one time. You know, it's because it's, you know, obviously money laundering.
Right.
Oh, I mean, that one had that QR code at the end that was like, buy tickets for other people for more.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, there's that stuff for this too online.
God.
It's insane.
I think it's like, it's not bad. It does feel like a smaller, quieter Jarmusch versus like, you know, other Only Lovers Left Alive or The Dead Won't Die.
Sure.
It's nowhere near as like, I would say, affecting or like beautiful as like Patterson was, which was also very quiet and like small. This is going to be a really weird thing to say about Jim Jarmusch, but it feels really low budget for a Jim Jarmusch movie. And it's not bad at all. Like I think that there's like good moments throughout it, but I think that each of the different sections has like a couple of good moments. And you're just kind of like getting to the moments. We're just talking to one another, like around a table or driving. And there's always somebody walking a dog at one point in the background. It's like, it's very much that as you're just watching like three different like groups of people do like the same thing and talk about like similar things.
This is in the Wiener Dog universe.
Yes, exactly. It's in the Wiener Dog universe. Yeah.
Just gets run over, like, mother, father, sister, brother.
I think father, honestly, if I had to, because it's Waits, you know, it's Waits is father. Waits is the only father there.
Fathering.
I went on.
Does that mean anything?
I don't know.
No idea. Yeah.
I think we're getting a little punchy already.
So too quick. I went to, what was it? It was playing at the Lincoln Center film. What is that one?
Film at Lincoln Center.
Yeah, film at Lincoln Center. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, there it is. To a completely sold out audience, completely awesome. Sold out. I couldn't believe it, and I wasn't even the oldest or youngest person there. I was squarely in the middle. you got to support Jarmusch, basically.
Oh, absolutely. I would have guessed he has way more films than he actually does.
It's always like 5 years in between. Well, Only Lovers and The Dead Won't Die, I feel like we're like back to back, basically.
Incorrect. Only Lovers is 2013.
Oh, wow. Patterson, that was that long ago?
Yeah. Patterson is 2016. And then Dead Don't Die is 2019.
I could have sworn. Wow.
Well, how many movies does he have with Dead in the title?
Dead Man, Dead Won't Die.
Two.
But he's got Ghost Dog.
Think about that.
That's all that matters. Yeah. There is a vinyl record of Wu-Tang's Enter the 36 Chambers at one point. So that was nice to see. I was waiting to see that. I was waiting to see that. All right, Pete, Secret Agent. What do you think?
So it's a movie that I definitely need to see again, because I don't think I felt or saw the same thing that other people are seeing. Like, I didn't get into the story. I think it kind of starts, it's titled and starts in this way that you're like, all right, I got to figure out what's going on here.
Yep, exactly. What it has such a good opening at that gas station.
Yeah. What are your secrets, movie? Who is this person? Where are they? And then there's a couple like weird little time jumps around. Like there are times in which he has a mustache. There are times in which he has a beard.
Yep.
And you're kind of like, oh, this is, I can't wait for them to finally tell me what's been happening.
Yeah.
And the answer is kind of nothing.
It's nothing. Yeah.
Been way more straightforward than you would have thought. So I felt like I was trying to watch a movie that I wasn't actually supposed to be. And I don't know if I did something wrong or if it's the movies to blame.
I think the movie's to blame a little bit. Well, I think the movie and the hype around it is definitely to blame.
Because people are loving it.
It's also very long.
Yeah. So it was just like building and building. I was just like, I didn't really connect with me because I kept thinking I had to do more work than I needed to.
Yeah, like you feel like you're trying to solve something or that it's going to be like a traditional thriller the whole time, right? Yeah. Like I feel like that's and it's not, right? It's very much just
and that's watching kind of, that's also kind of the point.
Right, yeah, it's exactly the point. It's exactly like ordinary guy and so when I had heard it was like it's just a normal guy. You know, I was like, "Oh, so this is going to be like North by Northwest or something like that?" And there's no North or Northwest happening.
It turns out that him and his wife pissed off the wrong dude.
Yep.
And he just needed to find he wanted to make sure he had a record of his mother's life before he ran away. Like,
yep.
But it just I don't know, it tries to feel like something else and not in a way that I don't know, I don't know if it's trying to trick you or what, but the turn for me just like felt flat in this way that I was like it was only a couple days later. I was like, oh, I guess that was the point, and I appreciate that. But I was like, that didn't mean I was enjoying myself for 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Yeah. And like, I think that when he sits down for like the interview portion, like I like all of that I found to be like pretty interesting. Yeah. But that's also like the last like third of the movie. And I feel like you almost could have started there because like everything up until that, I was like, what are we getting to here? Like this is like at some point it felt like I was watching a slice of life, you know, for the most part where I guess like I get it. Like, you know, they would kind of cut to like, oh, the scenes with like the hitmen and all that stuff. It was like, okay, like this, I guess this all ties in, but like, I don't totally understand the stakes. And I guess that is still the point, but it wasn't until that moment where he's sitting down the interview, they're flashing forward. Which happens a couple times to like the people like examining it and then like doing research on it.
For the first time that happens, I'm like, oh wow, there's even more going on than I thought.
Yeah, exactly. And there's not.
Maybe I feel like this movie made me feel dumb and I'm annoyed at it.
I also kind of want to watch it again, but it's also like a large commitment. And like I've got so many other movies to watch at this point.
There's even a movie I forgot to put on this list that I would like to talk about next real quick. But Alex, you were going to ask something.
I was just wondering. Oh, no. I was laughing at you guys. I was wondering, should I get into Laserdisc?
You should probably get into Laserdisc, to be fair.
I should get into Laserdisc.
It's an emerging market.
It's coming back. Like
I just saw a big lot of like I'm looking on eBay.
Why are there's you on eBay right now?
Because we're podcasting.
Oh, all right, touche. Good point. You know what? I can't argue with that.
Yeah, you really got it.
There's a player with a lot of movies for $200.
Which movies?
Let's see. It's got Vampire in Brooklyn.
Oh,
Boys in the Hood.
How much for this lot?
Yeah, we're all going to start outbidding each other.
A couple hundred?
Oh, that seems too much. I mean, how much just for Vampire in Brooklyn?
A couple hundred. Bram Stoker's Dracula, Witches of Eastwick, Top Gun.
I think this person has a type. Oh, all right. Pete, what is the other... Of all of the international movies that are at the Oscars, this is definitely the one that I liked the least of them, and we'll talk about one that we think got snubbed in a second. But what were what was the one that you wanted to talk about?
I forgot to put Testament of Anne Lee on this list.
You did. Oh, how is that?
I really remember now, because it's kind of in stark contrast to Secret Agent. This is a very like slow, quiet movie that, like, after the beginning, when she like starts to become this like weird messiah cult leader figure, the rest of the movie's like super straightforward and simple, and that's the point.
Yeah.
I really vibed with that the whole time.
Okay.
I was in on this from the beginning in a way that I wasn't with Secret Agent. Also, this is a musical, which is
awesome. I was about to say, I didn't realize that this was a musical. Okay. Although all of the stills that I've seen of this of the movie would lend itself to being a musical.
Yeah, but there's a lot of like singing and dancing, and the songs are all orchestrations of like actual Shaker hymns.
Well, that's cool.
So it never breaks the reality. Like, you could convince yourself a couple times that like this is just a song they were singing. And not like this, not that this was a choreographed sequence.
Interesting. Okay, that's cool.
Like they probably weren't singing this at this time. So like it really worked for me. And she's fantastic.
I was about to ask, also, how was Seyfried on this? Yeah. Seyfried?
Yeah, Seyfried was in my mind snubbed for a nom. But it's had the weirdest, slowest release in the world, so I blame that for any snubs.
Well, that was the other thing. It was such a late release, and it's been in so few theaters, and the showtimes have been like pretty rough to even be able to go and see this one.
It's been playing at the Lincoln Square AMC, and it's the only AMC in the city that it's been at. And it's been playing like maybe two or three times a day, and all those showings are packed.
Okay.
It's like which is like, why would you do this for a month and never go wider?
And I feel like there wasn't even any press about this until the Housemaid, I started to see trailers for, and I was like, oh, that's coming out soon. And then all of a sudden there was a second Amanda Seyfried movie that was coming out like the next week. And I was like, wait, what just happened? I do want to see this one. This is one I was really looking forward to it. And then I like ended up like prioritizing, like Song Sung Blue so that I could get rid of all the Oscar movies.
Speaking of Amanda Seyfried, I just finally started watching, Veronica Mars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. On Netflix now. Finally. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I have been meaning to rewatch that. Like, that is one of the, now that that's all there.
I never watched it, and I wonder, is that where she, well, I guess it's after Mean Girls.
I don't know how that lines up. That's an incredible question.
That is a great question.
I'm not wrapping my head around that.
If only there was a way to look up release dates.
Nothing to be done.
There's no other choice. Wait, were you going to say more about Testament?
No, I was just going to say, Alex, if you want, I have season one on DVD. It's actually Scollins's, and I never gave back to him. So
hell yeah.
If
you want.
I think I have something of his, another one of his too. So yeah,
that's
I think
so funny. That's, yeah. All right. Peter, it's time to talk about the Bone Temple.
Yeah.
Bone Temple is
I had a really annoying theater experience for the first one.
Okay.
And I kind of liked the first one. So then me and Caitlin were like, you know what? Let's rewatch it. And by first one, I mean 28 years later. So the third
one. Good clarification, to be fair. Good clarification. Yeah.
So, you know what? Let's rewatch 28 years later, because we were going to see an early screening of Bone Temple the next day. And you guys, 28 years later is amazing.
It's really good. 20 years later is really, really good.
That movie absolutely rules. I love it so much. And I was so excited for the Bone Temple. And the Bone Temple is incredibly different.
Yep.
And good in like a million other different ways. And really incredible as well.
I love how it keeps moving between like multiple different groups, like in a very disconnected but also seamless way, that you're just waiting to collide. Exactly. There's different bones.
There's no Whiplash to it, though.
Yeah, no, which is like incredibly well done. It's a different movie. Yeah, it's not Whiplash.
The infected dude drum in this, though.
Yeah. And I love the story that ends up like, trying to find like the humanity in the infected, and where that all like kind of like lands and ends up. And Ralph Fiennes is so good in this.
Yeah.
So good in this. The entire
now this speech sounds of- like I'm making a joke, but do they do the whole humanity and the infected better than what was it? Land of the Dead.
100% yes.
Oh, so okay, much good. Better. It's so incredibly well done. The entire sequence on the bus is really well done. And then the Jimmys and Ralph Fiennes like meeting together and like the first interaction with Ralph Fiennes and them being just like, do you think I'm the devil and your father?
That conversation was like a straight like 5 minute dialogue scene that is thrilling.
Yes, it really is. Oh,
as you said, two different groups, two different tones, and they don't exactly mesh, but like they don't feel out of place. And then when they come together, it still feels organic and perfect. It's so good. Oh,
yeah. I know. This is one that like they were screening. Like, it's a shame that this kind of flopped.
Yeah. Because
they were like
telling
people at early screenings, like, please tweet about it and put things out there because, which is usually a good sign. For a movie when they're like,
please tell people this movie exists.
Yeah.
So what was happening? They had early screenings in like October, November 1st. And like, so the whole thing, these two were made
back to back. Yeah.
Back to back. And they were like, you know what? We'll see how they both perform before we start the ball moving on a third one. And it was the buzz on the early screenings of the second one was enough for them to start the ball rolling on the third.
Yeah. But like, but just talking about it, right? It's not like officially, like it could still get killed at some point. I don't
think it's been officially greenlit. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is crazy because of how they set up the third one at the end of this.
God, I'm so excited.
It looks so good.
It's almost like it would be okay if it ended.
Yeah.
Cause I want more because it's going to keep evolving and being different. That's at least the promise of these two movies.
Yeah.
I mean, like of 28 years later, which has the weirdest tone shift.
Yep.
Ever that works out so much better. As I said, the second time I saw it, I absolutely fell in love with that. Sat with like crying on the couch. It's such a shame. I think it's a combination of these two came out way too close together.
Yeah. January release. It's kind of long.
January release was so stupid.
It's not really like a proper horror movie for the most part. Like that you would be like, oh, let's go see a January horror movie. It's no Return to Silent Hill, I guess is what I'm saying.
But there's like some gore scenes in this that are pretty dang gnarly.
And like right out of the gate too. Like the first gore scene, the first like head ripping, oh my God. But we have to mention Alex.
Yeah.
Ralph Fiennes jumping around. To Number of the Beast, like played in full, and like it like playing it on a vinyl record in the background for like all of like the Jimmys is one of the greatest moments in like of the year, and it will still be at the end of the year.
This is firmly so far in my top 10 for 2026. Ralph Fiennes is like top of my list for best supporting actor.
Yes,
if you don't want to argue that he's also a lead. I'm so fucking pumped. Oh my God. And like, as you said, like the ending's a bit of a cliffhanger, but it's also a beautiful note if it was the ending.
Yeah, totally. Totally. But I need to see, that next chapter.
Yes.
And
a lot more dick.
Yeah. Oh, so much. So much.
Oh wait, Alex, you don't understand the big old zombie hog that's in this.
Oh, yeah, it's just flopping around. Just
yeah, little... yeah. You know, Alex, prioritize this after you watch Amazing Spider-Man 2.
And Interstellar.
Oh yeah, oh, yeah. All right.
Interstellar,
oh,
God, I thought it was better, but still bullshit.
I still refuse to watch that movie. Yeah. Again, there's yeah, no, not happening. All right, let's kick it over. Finally, we get to talk about No Other Choice. Arguably the largest optimist snub, for sure. Alex, take it away.
Yeah, this is one of the best movies of the year.
Yeah, it really is. It's so funny.
It's hilarious. Like, it's soul-crushingly hilarious.
Yeah.
It's just like Korean cinema, like, kind of doesn't miss.
Right.
For like a lot of the stuff that's brought over, and this is one of those. I mean, like, Park Chan-wook, you know, from Old Boy, and
Decision to Leave.
Decision to Leave. Yes, Decision to Leave was just also great.
A Handmaiden.
I never saw The Handmaiden.
Let's just slowly list all those films.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's what we're doing now.
Oh, Alex, you would love The Handmaiden.
Stoker.
Wait, really? Are you being serious? Or yeah.
Handmaiden rules.
Yeah, Handmaiden
rules. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Oh my God. Bro, never mind. Prioritize Handmaiden, then 28 Years Later, then Amazing Spider-Man 2.
But yeah, it's about a guy trying to knock off people in order to get potentially even get a job.
Yeah, just to get be interviewed basically for the job, really. Like, it's he's not even like guaranteed it in the long run, but he knows who his main competition is. And it's not where that starts. Like, it takes a little while to get to that point, but once it finally gets there, none of this sounds like it should be as hysterical as it is, but this is just a big old Looney Tunes, movie.
Yeah, big time.
there's so much better. And then, oh my God, the final scene when he is just so happy and like pumping his arms, I was laughing so freaking hard throughout that entire bit.
I was cracking up at the scene where he's like confronting the guy and like saying that he's the one having an affair with his wife.
Oh yes, that was and there's like so many like choices that he's making. I'm just like, why are you doing this right now? What's going on?
Yeah, and like the fact that he's like observing these people and like becoming obsessed with them and like integrating like parts of their life into his, in terms of like way he's like talking to people, like, it's fascinating.
It's so funny. Yeah.
Yeah. They really take, as you said, they take their time at the beginning to really sell in this very fun way that this guy's like kind of an idiot. And every guy in this movie is also an idiot. You said it is hilarious, but it's like strangely affecting in terms of like, Jesus Christ, what are we doing?
It's very poignant. It's very, very poignant. I don't think anyone at work has actually seen the movie, but I keep using the phrase "no other choice" a lot of work and waiting for someone to understand what I'm trying to say.
Every single time the titular line is said in this movie, it is an absolute joke.
Yep.
Oh yeah. And it's so funny. Like, and I think they picked the perfect like industry for him to be in.
Yes. 100%.
And like the fact that like everything at the end is taken over by automation and AI, you're so kind of like, oh boy.
Yep. But oh my gosh. And like the idea of like this, like we're having this plant run by AI so we don't need to turn on the lights so that we can save money on electricity. When I heard that, I was like, that makes so much sense. And it's so funny and so terrible.
If we're going to talk more about like details in the ending, the bit I liked the best towards the end is when he's finally confronted the last guy on his list who actually has the job.
Yep.
and he actually gets close to maybe getting a job with him without having
yes. to kill him. Yes. And he's just like,
well, wouldn't that not really honor the memory of the two other men I killed? I died.
And like every time like the police officers come to like to question him about what's going on and he like gets out of it and they're just like, yeah, that makes sense.
So good.
The only thing
everyone
like,
is so inept.
Everyone is so inept. The only storyline that I didn't like fully vibe with was like the son's like iPhone stealing one, where I was like, this seems a little much. Like it didn't like take too much time up, but even still, I was like, I'm not 100% on this, but it did seem like I should sell my iPhone 14 because it can get a lot of money.
Yeah, and for me, that was just more of like the insane decisions we'll make because we think it's protecting what we have or what we want.
Yeah,
and especially when it comes to the point of like all that stuff and like him and that dude are still friends at the end of it because they like. They care about each other and they'll continue to make stupid decisions because of that without thinking of anything other than this would benefit a person I care about.
Right. I thought the whole wife storyline was like exceptionally good and exceptionally well done. Him like going further and further into madness is like very, very good. The daughter I thought was, that was like hilarious at the end as well. When, it's just such a well done, well executed movie. It looks gorgeous as well, to the point where sometimes you're like, does this look so good that it's fake or is it fake? And it just looks so good that it's like the colors, like the color contrast is like turned up so high on like so much of the nature stuff that it just like, it pops so vividly versus like the more interiors and the office spaces and stuff like that. It's just, it's so good.
Yeah, he's always been a guy that's been very good at like balancing comedy, and I think his later stuff, namely This Indecision to Leave, are so much more comedic.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But also mixing in so much of what made like the Vengeance movies so good.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like absolutely perfected his thing between these.
Yeah. Yeah, and this was going to be an English language.
Right before this is A Handmaiden, which I think is also a masterpiece.
Wait, say that again?
Because it's, I said, I'm grouping together This and Decision to Leave, forgetting that right before this was The Handmaiden, which was also a masterpiece.
Oh, I thought The Handmaiden was before Decision to Leave.
Yeah, it is. That's what I, that's,
oh,
sorry,
oh,
that's,
oh, oh, okay, okay, okay.
I said his last two, but I forgot that was the one right before it as well.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah, just, yeah. And then what
it was weird to not lump that in.
Stoker was the one before that.
Yeah.
Or did he?
And then,
Thirst before that.
Oh, Thirst. That's right. Thirst is so good. Yeah. Thirst is great. Yeah. Yeah. Thirst is great. Now this is this is a shocking omission.
I guess he did editing work during the strike.
That was a big story that through the guild and all of that stuff was found to be not true and absolved of all of it.
Oh, interesting.
And yet that's a story that kept popping up the last couple of months with this coming out and then it getting buzz, even though it was already solved and like completely like, oh no, nothing, you did nothing wrong.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is weird. It's just so weird. This was one of the foreign films that was in contention to be like, could this even crack the Best Picture 10?
Yeah. Yeah. I totally expected it to, like, I expected this to be like a number 10, or, you know, like one of the omissions or one of like submissions that would actually make it there. Because it was so good and because that there was like, you know, he's a very well respected, you know, filmmaker, his latest movie. But at the very least, just to be in international, but international was like Secret Agent has a lot of buzz. Surratt has a lot of buzz. Just An Accident has been, you know, has been killing it for so long at this point.
What's
so funny is that this is the most financially successful of all those movies, though.
Is it really? I didn't realize that. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, this is of all the best international features, this has made by far the most amount of money.
It's probably opened in the most theaters, even in New York. Yeah. I feel like Secret Agent was in two.
This did the Testament of Ann Lee thing, in which was only in one AMC. But then, smartly, after all those were like sold out, like did an actual wide release.
Yeah,
it did really well for the kind of market that it would potentially have, and it's the highest grossing of the international feature,
which is crazy. Like I'm thinking of like it was just an accident. It was basically at like. Like what? It was at a film forum and like on and the one on 34th Street and like that was it. Like you couldn't really find it anywhere else. Secret Agent is like still basically playing at like Lincoln Center and like maybe one other spot. Surratt was in, I think it was just like Lincoln Center. Yeah, none of them have really gotten wide releases. And again, like he has the clout to, I guess, like put it out there. But even you would think that. So many of these, like, I mean, either being like the Palme d'Or winner or like, all major winners at Cannes, it would have actually shown some of these would have been opening wider.
Yeah. It was just an accident. Domestically made 1.7.
Wow.
Secret Agent domestically made 2.8.
Okay.
And No Other Choice domestically made $8 million.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
And internationally made $25 million. Like it quadrupled the other two domestically and is like 10 times as profitable internationally as those movies.
Yeah.
It's so it's weird that like this was clear. This wasn't a secret.
Right.
You know, this wasn't a Secret Agent.
There you go. Nailed it.
So it's got to have just been an accident that it wasn't nominated.
There. Wow. You nailed it. Wow.
Yeah. Not.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to the voice of anyway. Yeah, this is overall, though, like not to make it an Oscar cast. I am pretty happy with most of the nominations.
Sure. Yeah.
As I said before, the Ugly Stepsister nomination is so cool.
That's cool. The only thing that I'm like actively annoyed about is Frankenstein, because I just did not
I agree. Yeah.
Something like I'm not even that mad about F1. Like I get it. You know, like it's gonna be there.
Yes, I think F1 absolutely deserves its editing nomination.
Yep.
And if that's enough for like craft people to think this is a really like a best picture caliber movie, that's perfectly fine.
Yep.
But I find Frankenstein to be embarrassing at certain points.
Yes.
As I said, my biggest thing I can't get over from Frankenstein is when the monster is hiding in the barn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is the brightest barn you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And like the cracks in the boards are so thick that I'm just like, how is no one seeing this person in your barn?
I know.
That is poor directing. That is poor set decoration. That is poor lighting. That is poor cinematography. It's just like, this looks like shit to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was boring as hell too. I'm sorry. Like it was just so boring to watch.
I'd give that movie costumes and makeup and hairstyle.
Yeah. That's 100%.
It. Yeah, sure.
I agree that like there's been a lot spoken about Elordi, but yeah, he was good, that's about all I can say. Yeah, it's fine. It's gonna be interesting when Frankenstein takes all the Oscars.
Oh God,
I'm really really nervous about that.
Do you think it might?
I think it's going to win costumes.
Yeah.
I think it's going to win production design.
Okay. You think that Elordi's got up against like
I think Stellan Skarsgård is.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think so too.
He's got it.
That's true. I can't imagine Elordi winning that. It's just a bummer, like Elordi being like a younger dude that they don't usually give nominations to. For some reason, it keeps making me think of Charles Melton not getting nominated for May December when he was amazing.
Oh yeah, that was good. Yeah, he was really good.
He was doing a ton of stuff too, like critics prizes, all these little different award shows were awarding Charles Melton, and then he got blanked at the Oscars. So I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that was messed up. I remember that. That was crazy that he didn't get that. He was so good in that.
Yeah.
All right. Any other piece, or shall we call it here?
No, we'll be back. We'll be back later with Oscars.
So. Yeah, we'll do a full Oscar rundown cast, and we'll also get our top tens together. I think that I've seen everything that I need to at this point to like actually put my list together. So,
I have two movies, I think, just to be safe, that I want to watch.
Okay, I kind of want to watch Testament. And I do want to see Arco at some point, but like I'm not rushing out to see any of them at this point either. So, I think you've got everything else.
Cool, dude.
And I need to remind myself what actually came out, because when you said Final Destination Bloodlines came out this like last year, I was like, oh crap, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, there was a movie for me the other day that was like, wait, that was this year? I have to rewatch that to see if it's actually incredible.
Yeah,
I wish I could remember right now.
Yeah.
And hey, guys, a quick one.
A quick one.
Yeah.
Look at the time. You can find us on the web, moviemoviepodcast.com. You can find Russ on everything, but probably not posting as much nowadays as Russ Incredible. You can find Peter on Letterboxd as 12 Angry Peters. You can find me on Letterboxd and Strava as Johnny Tiggs. I'll be going for a run right after this. And Alex, where are you at now?
Doesn't matter.
There it is. There's no other choice is really what it says. All right. Thank you all for listening. And thank you all for being here. We'll see you soon. Already the most podcasts we've had in a year by the end of January than in many years. So catch y'all next time on the movie podcast.
You guys, was that in an email chain that Russ said it took him 4 days to watch Die My Love?